Chapter 3, beginning with the 7th verse and reading through verse 12. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. And we'll end the reading there of God's Word. Many years ago, I heard of a church that was planning a building program, and they hired a professional fundraiser to come into their church and try to raise the necessary funds for this new building program. Not having been raised in that tradition, that was rather a shock to me. I'm not used to that type of work in the church. The fundraiser would come in, raise funds, and in exchange for his services, he would be allowed to keep a certain percentage of the funds that were raised. If he raised $100,000 and he kept 10%, he would keep $10,000. If he raised $500,000, he could keep $50,000. Maybe I need to change professions. But I'm not a fundraiser. And I don't believe that fundraising is something that the church ought to be in a manner like this. How strange, I thought. A professional fundraiser coming into the church. And then I thought about the church. This was a church that would never dare preach on tithing. If they were to preach on tithing, the necessity of tithing, probably about, and this is an estimate, about 75% of them would leave. And that would surely kill their building project. Tithing was obviously required by God in Israel. There was no doubt about that. We've seen, for example, as we studied in the book of Leviticus, the last chapter, I believe, very plainly stated there, Leviticus 27, verse 30, Leviticus 27, verse 30, thus, all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. And then verse 32 of chapter 27 of Leviticus. For every tenth part of herd or flock, or whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. There was no doubt. There was no misunderstanding. There was no, well, we're under the new covenant now, you know. Those things don't apply to us anymore. You couldn't object on that basis in those days. I mean, it was clear. The first belongs to God. Even the first child, in a sense, had to be purchased back from God. It belongs to God. The first of the fruit of the field, the seed, everything, the first of everything belongs to God. Doesn't belong to you. You have no rights to that property. We see in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, a little discussion there on the tithe. Hebrews chapter 7, looking at, for example, the second, verse 1 and verse 2. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met with Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth of all the spoils, was first of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Abraham had been victorious in a war, and in those days, when you were victorious, you could take home all the spoils. Everything that they had was yours. Load up the wagons and bring them home. And Abraham met Melchizedek, certainly a stranger in some ways to us, but Abraham, before the law was given, before Moses, what did he do? He gave a tenth of all the spoils to Melchizedek. And the writer of Hebrews goes on to argue in verse 8 of chapter 7, in this case, mortal men receive tithes, but in that case, one receives them of whom it is witness that he lives on. And so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes, for he was in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. A lot there that we won't go into. Your generations that follow you, even being in your own loins, in some senses are accounted as doing what you do. And so Levi, being in the loins of his father, tithed unto Melchizedek through Abraham, even though Levi himself now receives tithes, or did receive tithes later on. He who received tithes pays tithes, is the argument there in the book of Hebrews. Tithing was something that no one had room for debate. Tithing was one-tenth of the fruits of your labor. And we believe that if tithing was certainly demanded and commanded in the Old Covenant, that in the New Covenant with all of the greater blessings that we have, how much more is it still a statute? Not that it will in and of itself justify us, but it is certainly evidence of our love for God and our love for Christ and our love for His Word. Now, there are various views of tithing, and I'm not going to get into this particularly tonight. We could spend debate after debate upon it. On what do you tithe? Oftentimes I'm asked that question. Oh, well, what amount do you tithe? Before taxes, after taxes, and those kind of questions. And I would say this, the church has never laid down a law. Church has never laid down a law, and we often leave it to the conscience of the giver. There are some who believe that you should tithe on the gross amount that you receive. Greg Bonson believed that tithing after taxes were paid was legitimate, was the tithe. Great men have differed on this. There are three major possibilities. Let's say a man makes $100,000 a year and he receives 30% in fringe benefits, which makes $130,000 a year that he's actually getting in benefits, and so his tithe would be $13,000 a year. Others say, well, no, you don't have to pay tax or tithe on fringe benefits. $100,000 a year, you pay $10,000 a year. And others say, well, you pay tithe after taxes, and that taxes take about 40%. That leaves you 60, so you pay 6. And we're not here to argue that tonight, and I'm not going to give you an answer to that. Greater men than I have spoken on that issue. But I am going to say, whatever figure you use, a tithe is demanded of God, and whatever figure you take, take 10% of it. You can give more than 10%, but a minimum is 10%. And if Israel was required to do so, then how much more we who are under the new covenant and under the greater blessings of God? But what happened was, as often happens, as happened no doubt in many churches today, in churches like I've just mentioned that would never dare preach on a tithe, people may give a few dollars a month and think they've taken care of their obligation, or maybe a few stock purchases that they've inherited, you know, they give that to the church and think they've taken care of all of their obligations. What often happens, and no doubt what has happened in the church today, and the church broadly speaking, is that people do not tithe. They do not tithe. And so it was in the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi. God brings an indictment against the people there. And He tells them to observe His statutes. He says, "You have not done it. Return to Me, and I will return to you." Now, we'll notice how returning to God involves respect for His statutes. You know, you just don't have a good heart, warm feeling, and return to God. You look at His statutes and you decide where you have broken God's law, and you return to keeping His statutes by His grace, of course, but showing your love for Him. And He says, "Return to Me and I will return to you." Verse 7 of Malachi 3, "But you say, how shall we return?" Now, I don't know if this is boldness or if God is allowing these questions, but God answers the questions. You know, one of the things you remember about Malachi is the people like to ask questions. How shall we do this? How shall we do this? You know, how are we going to do this? What does this mean? And God seems to tolerate it, and God gives them an answer every time. And so they say, "How shall we return to God?" And then God gives them another question. "Will a man rob God?" Think about that for a minute. Would a man rob God? "Yet you are robbing Me," He says in verse 8. Okay, we still don't get it, God. We still don't quite get it. What do you mean we're robbing You? But you say, "How have we robbed You?" See, they don't have logical deductions here. They don't quite see the answer. They should have seen the answer. I mean, after all, they knew they were withholding their tithe. They weren't giving 10% of what was coming into them, the fruit of their land and so forth. And God just simply says, plainly, I mean, this is not beating around the bush, no more questions, He says, in tithes and offerings. Period. That's it. The whole nation of you. There might have been some exceptions, I don't know, but that's strong language. Think about that. You are robbers. Thieves. And it's not that you've robbed men. It's one thing to rob men, but you've robbed God. You've robbed God. And some people think, I've heard some people say, well, you don't give to men, you give to God. You don't give to the church, you give to God. Or and some people believe they could save up all their tithe and put it in their casket when they die, and they can take it with them to God. You know, that's kind of their idea. But when you give to the church, you give to the kingdom, you give to God. Okay, don't go try to find God and write Him a check to God and give it to Him. You'll never find Him. You give it to His church. God identifies Himself with His church, with His kingdom. That's where God is. That's where God receives His tithes. You can't give it directly to God. You can't directly steal from God. But to withhold your tithes and offerings from the church is to rob God. That's pretty strong language. It's not failing to do your responsibility. It's not being weak in your faith. It's what? You're robbing God. You're a thief if you don't give God His tithe. Amazing how the world, maybe those inside the church, but especially those outside of the church, if you were to go to them and say, "Are you a robber?" Most of them would say, "No, I'm not a robber. I don't rob people." "Have you ever robbed God?" Most of them would say, "No, I've never robbed God. There's a church down the road, and I know some people that broke in one time and took the audio equipment and the whatever. I've never robbed God. I never robbed His church." I always thought in evangelism, in dealing with people and really confronting people, we ought to say, "Look, sir, if you have not given 10% of your income to God, you're a robber and you're a thief." Now, that's not quote-unquote Billy Graham type evangelism. That's not friendly, seeker-sensitive evangelism. That's being pretty straight. I've often thought, and I'm not saying that we should do this, but I've often thought that when someone comes into the church, he's 40 years old, he's been converted, and he's made $100,000 for 20 years, and for 20 years he owed God $10,000, and we say, look, you need to repent. You should have been tithing all these years. You stole this money from God, and you got to pay it back to God before you'll come into this church." I'm not saying we should do that. That's a theological question, and that's a theological issue that we won't even require interest, you see. But you're going to have to repent of rebellion against God. And if you keep that money, you're a thief. And if we have a building project, we can certainly encourage people to give above and beyond the tithe, but we certainly are not going to hire a professional fundraiser to come in here and say you can have 10% of what you raise. Now, God does not stop there. God does not stop there. He goes on. He says, not only is tithing good for God in a way, good for His church, but it's good for you. Actually, if you don't tithe, you're withholding a blessing from yourself. And that might be another way to approach the unbeliever. Instead of calling a robber, we could say, "Look, you're missing the blessings of God. Because God makes certain promises if you tithe." As a matter of fact, in verse 10, he goes on and says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this." There's not too many places in the Bible where God says, "Try me out. Prove me. I made a promise. If you do this, you'll be blessed." There's one place, and he doesn't do it in the area of healing. You know, that's kind of the concentration of many churches on television, Try God out. Ask Him to heal you and He'll heal you. If you go to Scripture, the place where He says, "Try me out," is not in healing. It's in tithing. He says, "Try me out. Test me. And see if I'm not one who keeps His word. I will bless you. Give me 10%. And some would say the sky is the limit. But God says even more than the sky is the limit, doesn't He? If you look there, He says in verse 10, "If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." The sky is not the limit. God says, "I'll open heaven's windows and I'll pour out blessings upon you and you will overflow." You say, "Well, we don't have enough wine. We don't have enough fruit. We don't have enough food. We don't have enough grain." And God says, "I'll tell you why. Because you haven't brought me my tithe. And if you'd brought me my tithe, and if you do return to me and bring me my tithe, not only will you have enough, you will be overflowing. You will have so much extra, additional grain and food and bread and all the things that are God's blessing. You'll just be so overflowing with these things. And so I don't want you to miss my blessing. It's not that God simply comes to you and says, I'll beat you on the head, and if you don't start tithing, I'm going to get you. He does, in a sense, say that. But He says, look, if you'll return and start tithing, I'll make sure that you're taken care of. And not only that, I'll make sure that you're overflowing with things you never dreamed you'd have. And He says, try me. Test me. Prove me. The sky's not the limit. God will open up the heavens. And even beyond the sky, He will pour out His blessing upon you. And He says in verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer so that you will not, it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will you, your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. You know, all the nations of the world calls America the blessed nation. We are the envy of the world. We have food overflowing. We throw it away, day by day. We don't know what to do with it all. But God can take that away. It comes from God, and God can take it away. And God promised to Israel that if you'll tithe, if you'll be faithful to me, then this is the way your nation will be blessed. Now, it takes faith to tithe. It takes faith. The question is, do you have the faith to do that? It's not an easy thing to do. You know how the mind works. My mind goes back at times, sinful as it is, and thinks, well, you know, all that money that I tithe to the church, thousands of dollars a year, and I can multiply that by, 25 years, and you know what I could have done with that money? I mean, I don't know what it could have been, $150,000 with interest. It could have been a couple hundred thousand dollars. I could have put my children through college. I could have paid off my mortgage, and I would have a retirement fund right now that I could go to Florida and live the rest of my life playing golf. If I hadn't tithed. Sinful how I am. What do you mean if you hadn't tithed? God called you to tithe. God commanded you to tithe. And you know what? You really have everything you need. I mean, how is it I could put three kids through college? I don't know. And when they came out of college, they didn't owe a penny. I mean, how is it that could happen? That's a miracle. That's miraculous. Don't be tempted. Don't be tempted. Try God. He says, try me out. Not only will you have what you need, but you'll have more than you need. But it takes faith to do that. God can do it, and He challenges you to do it. Tithing is God's law, and if for the old covenant, how much more for the new covenant? To disobey is to rob Him, but to tithe is to enjoy His blessings. God will provide. Somehow He will. Somehow He will. Do you believe that? And it's kind of like Abraham. Abraham was asked to look into the future and said, and God says, I will raise life from the dead. Even your wife Sarah will give birth. And Abraham believed. And it was reckoned to him as righteousness. God says, if you tithe, I will bless you, and you will overflow. You will have all that you need. Try me out. Do you believe? God will bless you. As I said, that's one of the few places in the Bible where we are challenged to test God. If we don't tithe, we are robbers, we are thieves, and somehow we ought to let the world know. And the church ought to be preaching. If everyone in the church and all over the United States and all the world tithe, we would have so much money in God's kingdom to do so much. We would have Christian schools in every city. We would probably have hospitals with the name Presbyterian on it, the name Baptist, the name Methodist. And you don't have to worry about medical insurance. You don't have to worry about the high cost. God's people, through His tithes, are going to provide charity, education for God's people and also for others outside even of the church. And God will so bless us that we'll be overflowing with blessing from Him if we tithe. And if America were to tithe in its churches, there is no limit to what we could do in the name of Christ for Him. So may God give us that grace, and may God give us that faith to give that which belongs to Him. And may God bless each of you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we confess that sometimes we are sinful people. Sometimes we resist. Sometimes we don't live by faith, we live by sight. Sometimes we see the world, who oftentimes does not give but pennies to the church, and yet they seem so well off. And sometimes we see the people of God's church who tithe, struggling. But, O Lord, help us to live by faith. And whatever God brings our way, we know that He is faithful. And we will overflow with His blessings if we look to His statutes and to His ways. We thank Thee, O Lord, that even here today, even under the covenant of Jesus Christ Himself, that He will bless us. Help us to believe that and act upon it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.